Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. Verse number 12. The Bible says there in Philippians 1 and verse 12, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding everywhere, or every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." And basically, if this was our world today, he would say, you know, some guys on Fox News downplaying Christianity, and but at the same time, Christ and the gospel is being given, even though that person's trying to fight against it. And he said, but then there are other people who are truly trying to give the gospel and see people saved. He said, the good thing is everywhere Christ is being preached right now. Verse 19, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers." He says, my deliverance, basically from prison, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, "according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two." So he's saying there, not if I live in the flesh like carnal, but he's saying if God allows me to live, get out of this jail. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So he said, if I can get out of this prison, I can be a help to you. But if I die, hey, it's far better to be in heaven. He said, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't let the world, don't let the devil up, don't let people fight against your Christianity, don't let them bother you, which is to them an evident token of perdition. Basically, they're fighting against your Christianity, which is is evidence that they have a future in hell, that they're not saved. But to you, of salvation, it's an evident token of the fact you're born again, and that's why they're fighting against you and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. All right, here's the question today. It's not just for young people. It's for adults also, for all of us. Are you willing to live for the one that died for you? Are you willing to live for the one that died for you? Let's pray together. God, would you bless the message this morning? I pray to be a challenge to every Christian in here, Lord, that we may go out this week and live the same way that we're living today. Talk the same way and act the same way. And Lord, that you might get the glory and that people might get the gospel. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, that you would convict their heart about their need for salvation. And I pray that today would be the day that they'd be willing to accept Christ as their personal Savior. So, Lord, we ask you to bless. We ask you to bless our two children's churches going on in other rooms. And Lord, work on those kids' hearts today. But Lord, today in here with the teenagers and adults, God, would you meet with us in a special way? And we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I went to Wills Point Schools back when Wills Point used to beat Quinlan back in the days. And thumbs down, you Quinlan people. But I went to Wills Point Schools, of course, from elementary school, third grade. Brother Greg and I met in the third grade a long time ago now. And so I went to Wills Point Elementary, and I went to Wills Point Junior High and High School and all of that stuff. Graduated in 93, 30 years ago this May. Had a great seventh grade math teacher. I always enjoyed math anyway, so most of my teachers I liked, but I had a great seventh grade math teacher, Mr. Cochran. Mr. Cochran was a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher on Sunday. I love this guy. It's back when you could do what you wanted kind of in schools and get away with it, when the coaches and teachers still had paddles and things like that. And Mr. Cochran would come in on Sunday after he had been in church on Sunday, and he knew that many of us had been in church on Sunday. And, boy, we'd rile him up for, you know, just immature seventh graders. We'd do one thing or another to get a laugh out of the friends. And so outside Mr. Cochran's class door, there was a bench there. It was no coat rack that they had in the hallway there at the junior high. And but Mr. Cochran called that the idiot bench. You probably couldn't even get away with that today. It'd be, you know, the power of positive thinking bench out there. But he would call it, all right, Ogdy, get out there on the idiot bench. And if you act like a moron that day, he'd put you out there. And here was his deal. I loved it. His deal was, if Mr. Whitmore, I believe was the principal's name back then, he said, if he comes by and finds you on the idiot bench, he's going to take you to his office. You're going to be in trouble. If he does not come by while you're on the idiot bench, you're free to go as soon as the bell rings. Boy, I've heard that people would sit on that bench and they would just wait for, you know, just praying, please, principal, don't come by. Please, Mr. Principal, don't come by. But Mr. Cochran, great, great, great teacher, died several years ago, but just good old gray-headed country boy from this area. And this is his saying he would have on Monday when we come in acting like clowns. He would say, you bunch of people, he said, what you do is you go to church on Sunday and you act like a Jew. And you come to church, you come to school on Monday and you act like a Gentile. You know, what he was saying there was, you go to church and you act one way, and then you go out there on Monday and you act another way. It'd be very easy for any of us in this room to lift up the name of Christ today. And by the way, when it's singing time, know what time it is? It's singing time. Not talking with your neighbor time. We're lifting up the name of Christ. He inhabited the praises of Israel. And I realize some mornings, some Sundays can be a little slow and a little quiet. But friend, that's up to us to get in here and sing and have God meet with us. But it'd be very easy for any of us to do right today and to look right and act right and talk right today and then go out tomorrow and live for the world. But I want to say this to any of us. You know, any of us easily, and I know we have kids here that are not 21, that sort of thing, but that even out in the country, that doesn't necessarily matter. I just want to say it would be very simple for anyone in this room to go out and drink some alcohol tomorrow. No one's really going to stop you. And kids find a way if they want to rebel. They can find a way to do that. It'd be very easy for any of us to go out tomorrow and use cuss words. It'd be very easy for any of us to go out tomorrow and tell dirty jokes. Any of us can leave here tomorrow and then go out to work or wherever and we can flirt with members of the opposite sex even though we're married. It'd be very easy for any of us to go out and dress in a worldly way, in an immodest way, in a provocative way. Any of us can leave here and go out tomorrow and gossip about someone else in the church or someone else in the family. Any of us could spend this week criticizing anybody and everybody that's not just like us. Any of us, teenagers or adults, could go out this week and tell a bunch of lies, a bunch of thoughts that are not true about people or about your life. Any of us could go out this week and we could live a lie. We could leave these doors and be a total hypocrite the rest of the week. Folks, listen, anyone can do that. But it takes a spiritual backbone and it takes Christian character to live for Christ 7 days a week. Jesus said this to his disciples in John 15 and verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now don't miss this. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So I have to ask myself what group I'm a part of. Am I a part of the world group, or am I a part of the not of the world group? A friend, listen, you can't be both. You can't be both. Either you're sitting in church this morning living a fake life because this is not the you that is Monday through Saturday, or you're sitting in church today and maybe you have a little more Sunday to go to meet an outfit on, but beside that, this is the same you that we would find Monday at Walmart or Tuesday at the ball fields or Wednesday at your job or Thursday in your home. Friend, listen, it's time we decide whose side we're on. These are some headlines that I wrote down just from this week. Christian charity worker faces potential jail time and a fine after speaking about leaving the LGBT lifestyle. Legendary NFL coach Tony Dungy. People have great respect for the man. But this week he was dubbed a right-wing extremist, because he and his wife were going to go to the March for Life rally in Washington, D.C. Here's another headline that I read. Man fined and arrested for praying outside an abortion clinic. But what I want us to see this morning as adults and teenagers is that the line is being drawn in the sand. And we better decide which side we're on. We're either that blessed old book they sang about. We're either on God's side, or we're on the devil's side. It's a foolish thing to claim to be a child of God while at the same time shunning the people of God and the things of God so that you can be entertained by and so that you can fit in with the world. That's a foolish way to live as a child of God and think that it's going to turn out okay. The Bible specifically tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the things I want to do, the things I want to have, the things I want to become, if I make that my aim, rather than living for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Friend, listen, I'm not trying to be old cliche, but you're on the winning side. Back in May of 1911, one of the employees of the White Star Line said this. He said, not even God himself could sink this ship, the Titanic. Less than a year later, that ship was sitting at the bottom of the ocean. John Lennon with the Beatles said, we're more popular than Jesus now. I don't know which will go first, rock and roll or Christianity. Well, he was shot to death December 1980. No doubt he's burning in hell today. I don't revel in that idea, but that's a simple fact. You die without Christ, that's where you are. At 22, 23 years after burning in hell, guess who? What's still marching on? Biblical Christianity. This week, David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, who lived a life filled with alcohol and drugs and all kinds of craziness, sent out a social media tweet this week and said, he said, heaven is overrated and cloudy. And he died the next day. He'll never know what heaven looks like. I'm telling you, folks, what we think is, and young people, you, and things that you think are appealing to you, and I want to be like them, and I'm telling you, you don't want that lifestyle. And this is what I want, and if I had this, and I had that, and as we looked at on Wednesday night, if you were here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. God will give you what He wants for your life, but I promise you, you want to be in the will of God. Now, in our text in Philippians chapter 1, if you're still there, Philippians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul finds himself in a Roman prison Because he took a stand for Christ. We see it there in verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ, right? He's in bonds. He's in bondage. He's in prison, are manifest in all the palace and in other places, probably in prison in Rome at this time. Now, I want to remind you, as he is in prison for doing nothing more than preaching the word of God, for giving the gospel, I want to remind you that the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That means you're not going to fit in with everyone at school. That means you're not going to fit in with everyone in your family. That means you're not going to fit in with everyone at your job. But again, the line is drawn in the sand, and we have to decide, hey, I'm going to serve God with my life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partaker of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. It goes on to say there in 1 Peter 2, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You know what that tells us? When we face persecution, all of a sudden we're not invited to that get together. All of a sudden we're not invited to sit at that table, at the schoolroom, at the lunch. All of a sudden we're talked about and we're mocked. What the Bible tells us there is, just march on. Just march on, realizing you're a child of God, and not everyone is going to agree with that. Not everyone is going to appreciate that. Now, while Paul was sitting in prison, an interesting thing to note is that he wasn't thinking of himself. He wasn't talking about quitting. Well, if I've got to go through this, and I tell you what, I just don't know if I want to be a Christian anymore. I don't know if I want to go to church anymore. No, he said, I would that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He said in Philippians 1:14, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul says this. He says, guys, yes, I'm sitting in prison, and all I did was preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, but you know what? I've heard that there are some Christians who have said something like this. If Paul's willing to go to jail for it, I think I can go pass out a few tracts. If Paul's willing to go to jail for it, I think I'll take a stand for Christ. If Paul's willing to go to jail for it, I think I'll tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was encouraging to the Apostle Paul. He said in verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He goes on to say in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. All right, so he's thinking of them, even though he's sitting in prison. He's thinking of how hopefully he'll be able to get out and be a help and an encouragement to them. He's thinking about how, yes, I'm in prison right now for the cause of Christ, but the gospel's being spread. Okay, so when we think, well, you know, this person unfriended me, or this person doesn't invite me there, this person, why don't we just chalk it up and say, you know what, I don't want to be ugly to them, and I want to be a friend, but I am a child of God, and if living different is what separates me from them, then they were never really my friend to begin with. And I'm just going to stay faithful to the cause of Christ. Now, Paul's mind was on the gospel being spread and on saints being strengthened. You see, when we get a worldly mindset, it becomes all about us. It becomes all about our feelings. It becomes all about our entertainment. It becomes all about our schedule. And we no longer make the things of God a priority in our life. There are some of you young people that at camp time, you made the things of God a priority in your life. And thank God many of you have held on to that, and some of you have backslidden. For some of you, it was a couple of years ago when you were so excited about the things of God and what God was doing in your life. And somewhere along the way, you got a job. Or somewhere along the way, you got another friend. Or somewhere along the way, something got in the way. And ever since then, some of you young people, you can tell when you're sitting in church how bored you are with the things of God. And that, my friend, tells us exactly where your life is 6 other days of the week. Adults, are we bored with church? Are we bored with the things of God? Does godly music bore us? Does preaching bore us? Does fellowship with God's people who don't drink, don't cuss, and don't do those kind of things, does that bore us? Because that might tell us where our life is. 6 days a week. What did Paul say about one of the men that traveled with him and served with him? He sadly said this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Folks, this present world's falling apart. And we have to decide, am I in? Am I out? Is it going to be about me and the world? Or is it going to be about me living my life for the Lord Jesus Christ? Over the years, as I've watched teenagers and adults turn back to the world while still pretending to play church, to be honest with you, at first I'm heartbroken and I'm burdened. But after a while, I just get annoyed by the selfishness, by the lack of commitment, by the lack of faithfulness, and by the characterless attacks on the ones that have always wanted what's best for your life. What did Moses say? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. He said, consecrate yourselves. He said, separate from the world and the gods of the world. What did Joshua say? Joshua said, fear the Lord and choose him. Put away the gods, the little g. I'm not talking about the little fat Buddha sitting on the shelf at the hotel. I'm talking about whatever it is that you made more important in your life than your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, put away the gods and serve ye the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. And I believe God wants us to make a decision. Hey, where do we stand? Who are you living for today? What is your purpose in life? I like what Paul said. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. So I ask you the question again. Are you willing to live for the one that died for you? I want to ask you three questions, or I want to give you three statements, 3 points. How can I recognize if I'm living for Christ? Wake him up. Other side. How can I recognize if I... Look up here, young people. Woo-hoo, right here. How can I recognize if I'm living for Christ? Adults, I'm going to give you 3 ways out of Philippians chapter 1 that we can say, okay, I'm doing right, my heart's in tune with God, or I'm not, I'm backslidden, I'm not where I ought to be. All right, how do I fix that? Number one is this, out of Philippians chapter 1. How can I recognize if I'm living for Christ? Number one, I magnify Christ in my body every day. I magnify Christ in my body every day. Look at it there in Philippians 1 and verse number 20. The Bible says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always. Hey, can we say that, Christians? How you gonna act this week? How are you gonna live? Well, as always, I'm gonna do my best to live for Christ. As always, I'm gonna try to keep a good testimony. As always, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna be the person God wants me to be. I'm gonna fail sometimes. I'm gonna sin sometimes. But I'm gonna get right with the Lord and confess that sin and have it forgiven. And so Paul said, well, as always, he said, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. How can I recognize if I'm living for Christ? Number one, I magnify Christ in my body every day. The word magnify means to make great in representation. To make great in representation. Don't miss this. You're made up of three parts, your body, soul, and spirit. Your soul and spirit are who you are. Your soul and spirit are what's going to go to heaven one day when you die. The Bible says the dust is going to return to the ground. Our body is the vehicle of our soul and spirit. Okay, now we have this mindset today. Well, don't judge. You can't see my heart. Well, according to the Bible, we can. You shall know them by their fruits. Make clean the inside of the platter that the outside may be clean also. Where some people get it wrong is they think, well, you know, you go to this kind of church, man, you gotta get that whole outside. No, you need to get the inside. You need to get saved first and start growing in the Lord. But if you're growing in the Lord as you should, God will work on your heart about things. I worked for Frito-Lay. I love the job. I work for them today. I love working for that. I did. I don't know what the policies are now, but I worked for that company for several years in the late 90s while I was in Bible college. Right out here between here and Elmo, that warehouse there was where we worked out of. Drove one of those big old trucks. Remember Chester Cheetah would be on the side of the truck? In fact, I was Chester Cheetah one time at Walmart in Terrell. They need somebody to dress up in the outfit, and I was Chester Cheetah. In fact, a couple times on a couple of tests in school, I was Chester Cheetah, if you know what I mean. But we used to drive those big old Frito-Lay box trucks filled with Doritos and Cheetos and Fritos and sunflower seeds, good kind of beef jerky, good kind of cheese and peanut butter crackers, all the good stuff. Now, you couldn't just eat all you can and sell the rest. You had inventory. You were responsible for all of that inventory, and you had to pay it back. So inside that truck was filled with a lot of good stuff. But you know something Frito-Lay harped on in our district meetings, company meetings? They said, guys, keep the outside of that truck clean. Because that is a rolling advertisement for what is inside that truck. The Bible tells us and I know that I am pastoring in a day and age where every man does it which is right in his own mind. But Christians, we still have a Bible to guide us. And the Bible says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present the vehicle. Your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what I want to do. It's my life. It's my body. No, it's not. Is this acceptable unto God? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So don't be not conformed to this world. Don't do just what the world's doing around you, but be you transformed, be changed by the remodeling of your mind. The Word of God gets in us that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so God says that I am to present my body. So my body is not mine to do whatever I want, when I want. Well, this is the hair color I want. These are the piercings I want. These are the tattoos I want. This is clothes I want to wear. No, the Bible says we're to present our body a living sacrifice to God. Is this acceptable to Him? Not only is our body the vehicle for us, for who we really are, but it's also the temple, the tabernacle, or the vehicle of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he should be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So I want to say to all the young people that are in here today, all the adults, because even adults do it, just because the world does it doesn't mean something a child of God ought to be doing. Just because it's culturally acceptable does not mean it's biblically acceptable. And we're in this place today where it's like, well, I'll tell you what, those fundamental Baptists, those legalists, they tell you this. Folks, listen, we may have expectations for a Sunday school teacher or maybe a Christian school student or whatever, but it ought to be that we set our standards so high, we're not riding that line, go, well, where's the this and where's the that? If you would just present your body every day to God, I don't think you'd have to pull that skirt down 15 times while you walk. And by the way, leggings don't make up for a miniskirt. I've seen it around the church here during the winter. Amen. Boys, they have tight jeans now, tight pants, tight sweats. I don't even know what all they're called, but they can be immodest. But if you're presenting your body to God every day, you're not fighting with youth pastor over whether or not it's immodest. You're looking, going, you know what? Does this honor God, or am I just trying to get the girls' attention? So if we're going to magnify Christ every day, I've got to wake up every day and I've got to say, you know what? God, is this what you want, or is this just the latest and greatest I saw in a magazine? We don't have to look like we fell out of the 70s or fell out of the Little House on the Prairie set in order to honor God. I'm not saying that. You can have style, but you know the difference between trying to make some statement. What statement are we making? Our statement ought to be, I'm a child of the King. In a world where anything goes, and let's all be honest, we live in a world where anything goes. God still expects His people to greatly represent Him with our body. According to the Word of God, what we wear matters. Modest apparel for guys and girls. Someone said, if it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. A lot of people don't like this, but husband, dad, you ought to be the modesty police in that home. Because ladies, you don't see things like men do. There's a gymnast for LSU, some young lady, saw it on Fox News, that has a lot of followers now, like a million followers or whatever, and so she's get that name, license, whatever that stuff is where they're paying college students now. Apparently she's making like $1 million. And she will dress provocatively. All of a sudden, all these young adult guys are showing up to her gymnasium meets. How many guys do you think are interested in a gymnasium meet? And yet she made the statement, it is not my problem the way guys think. That's the world what they're teaching you today. That is not what the Bible teaches us. It does matter the way you dress. It does matter the way you dress men. It does matter the way you dress ladies. It does matter to God. How we fix ourselves up matters. People think this type of preaching is petty, but friend, we still represent the King of Kings. And if the president sent an ambassador to another country and they showed up and just looked like, you know, they just climbed out of bed, you think, man, come on now. And yet the crazy world today, running around in pajamas and all this craziness, represent the King. What we do with our body matters. The Bible makes it very clear that we must represent Christ in a right way with our bodies. And there's no getting around that. But if your heart's in tune with God, you'll want to. You'll want to. Number two is this. How can I know how can I recognize that I'm living for Christ every day? Right, number one, I wake up and I'm trying to magnify Christ in my body. Okay, with my body is okay. Is this okay? Is this, I look decent? Looks modest. I'm gonna go. Hey, I'll take that haircut today. It's February, so I'll take pink for Love Month. Now, I'm not going to tell you what color to color your hair, although you ladies are lucky. Y'all got all 14 shades of everything. We guys just go gray, and if we dare to try to dye something, every other guy in the place is going to make fun of us, and rightly should. But I'm not telling you don't go dye your hair pink. What I'm saying is, Christians, young people, stop and ask God what He thinks. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, for he eateth not of faith, for what serves not of faith is sin. So if you say, you know what, there's some doubt about whether or not I'll be doing this, just don't do it. Secondly is this, how can I recognize that I'm living for Christ? Number two is this, I magnify Christ in my belonging every day. I magnify Christ in my belonging every day, okay? The word belonging speaks of who we are around or who we are influenced by. Everyone wants a sense of belonging. You know, they say all this crazy homosexual stuff going on today and all this transgender and this non-binary and all this stuff. I probably should just throw it out there again. Young men, God made you a man. Young ladies, God made you a lady. Act like it. Look like it. Be honored by what God chose for your life and He'll bless you greatly. But they say, I can't remember the statistics now, but many people are not even really homosexual. It's just the way they're fitting in these days. Because it seems like that's what everybody's doing. Well, that's not what everyone's doing, number one. But there is this answer. Well, I want to fit in. I want to belong. And young people, I want to fit in. And I want to belong. I wrote down some sayings here. You are who your friends are, or you soon will be. Here's one that's very important, young people, to remember. Wake him up. Okay? Here's something very important for all of you to remember. And adults, we have acquaintances, right? We have people in the family or people at the place of employment. And maybe we don't sit down and have a cup of coffee together, but we can talk. I mean, how else are we going to share the gospel with people, right? But there's a difference between that and fellowship. We've turned back the world. You show me your friends, no matter what your age is. You show me your friends right now. Show me who you're closest to. I'll show you your future. Our belonging matters. What crowd we belong to matters. How about some Bible? Okay, Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. By the way, young people, I've been preaching and pastoring for over 22 years. Your looks don't bother me. You could sit there in your arrogance all you want. I'm trying to save your future. I'm trying to save your future. I'm telling you, I don't care who's fed what poison into your heart to get you to backslide and have a bad attitude. But I'm telling you right now, I'm trying to help you because you're going to wind up hating life one day because you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, the Bible says if you turn from the way of righteousness after you've been taught it, the latter end is worse than the beginning. The way of transgressors is hard. I've told it a million times about the fellow that was a teenager in our church. Got pulled out of church by another family. Within 2 years, he had a wreck that nearly killed him and came back. He's still today not mentally 100%, but came to my office and sat there at 18 and said, "Preacher, life is hard." That's exactly what the Bible says. Life is hard to the transgressor. Why don't we just wake up tomorrow and do things God's way? Perfect? Perfection? No, none of us is perfect. But there's a difference between trying and hanging up your Christianity in the closet as you walk out the door this morning. I magnify Christ in my belonging every day. Be wary of the company you keep, for they are a reflection of who you are or who you want to be. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us there's the world that we should not company with. And in other words, you got a crowd sitting there cussing, drinking, all carrying on, all this craziness. I should not have my family being influenced by that crowd. Get around God's people. God cares about the company we keep. In our text here in Philippians chapter 1, Paul cared about keeping company with the people of God. That's what I noticed in verse 25. He's sitting in prison. He wasn't saying, "Well, I can't wait to get out and go see my buds out there and act like the world." He said, "Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Paul said, hey, when I get out of jail, I'm not going back to the devil's world. I'm not going back to the old life. I'm not going back to persecuting Christians. I'm not going to hang around with the people who have been divorced 15 times and cuss everybody and everything that has to do with God or church. I'm not going back to the drinking crowd. I'm not going back to the dirty joke telling crowd. I'm not going back to the hate fundamentalism crowd. He said, hey, when I get out of jail for preaching the cause of Christ, I'm going right back to my Christian friends. Paul said, I tell you what, he said, I'm in jail. I don't know if I'm going to get out or not. But if I do get out, I'm going to keep on living for Christ. How can I tell it? How can we tell it in Paul's life? Number one, I'm magnifying Christ in my body every day. Number two, I'm magnifying Christ in my belonging. And the last one is this. I'm going to go out and I'm going to magnify Christ in my behavior. Look at verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The word conversation means your walk and your talk. It means, and you can look it up, Webster's 1828 dictionary, you will see this word. It means behavior. Let your behavior be as it becometh, or as it is suitable to the gospel. Make your behavior worthy of being a child of God. The psalmist said this in Psalm 101. He said, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So he's got a walk with God, a relationship with him. He said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So, if someone accused you today, now you've heard this before, but I think it fits. If someone accused you today of being a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? If someone said, you know what, we heard you're a born-again Christian, and if we can prove it, then you're going to go to jail. All right, so here's what we're going to do in order to prove it. We're going to bring all your family up that has interaction with you during the week. We're going to let them testify. We're going to bring up your coworkers. We're going to let them testify. We're going to bring up your fellow school students and we're going to let them testify. We're going to bring up the people who have read your social media posts this week, who have seen your pictures you posted this week. We're going to bring up all those people and we're going to let them testify. And would it not be a shame if at the end of that we had to listen to all that evidence and say, I don't know that they're really saved? Wouldn't it be something if our employer showed up and said, you know, I don't know about all y'all do at your church here, but I know this. This is one of my best employees. They show up on time and they have a good attitude. And when they do wrong, they own up to it. They don't make an excuse or blame the other employee. This is one of my best employees. Wouldn't it be something if school teachers came up here, the football coach came up here, or the peers came up here and said, you know, I don't know about y'all's church, kind of weird, kind of, you know, suits and ties, nobody does that anymore, and all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the finest young men. That's one of the finest young ladies. That's one of the best students that I've ever had. Let's get the fellow employees up here. Let's get our spouse up here. Let's get our kids up here. Let's get our parents up here. And I hope that the end result would be us being glad in the Lord, saying, man, I'm glad. Those people know I'm not perfect. Those people know I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and they don't understand it all. But what you see on Sunday, preacher, is what you get on Monday. I might be an old torn up t-shirt and hat and blue jeans and boots or something, but what you see on Sunday, what you get on Monday. Preacher, if you walk up behind me at Walmart and I don't know that you're there, I promise you, you're going to hear the same language that you would hear on Sunday. If you drive up beside my vehicle and my windows are cracked, the music you hear is going to be the music you hear in church, or the type of music at least that you hear in church on Sunday. Preacher, if you log on to my social media, which I don't want to do, which I've had great peace that passes all understanding in the last couple of months without hearing how bad your life is, or which Democrat hates which Republican, or which Republican hates which Democrat. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on the Lord's side. Let's go out this week and let's live for Christ. I know it's not a Sunday night where people have been in church all day. I know it's not a youth camp. I know it's not a youth conference. In fact, writing this week, I thought that might be a message I could preach at one of the youth conferences next summer, this summer that I'm preaching at. But I still believe that we can get right with God on a Sunday morning. Right before I left to go on vacation a week ago, which Braley's and Cunningham's are leaving, they're going snow skiing, and I'm glad about that. I told Brother Braley this morning, it must be nice to go on vacation. He said, in that little grin he has, didn't you just go a week ago? I said, I don't live in the past. So, right before I left for vacation, I had those different deer mounts and turkeys and all that stuff in my office. And I've noticed for about 6 weeks these brown moths flying around. I'm like, where did they come from? And I've been killing them because, man, people are going to come in my office and think I'm Linus from Charlie Brown or something. I'm nasty. I got bugs everywhere. And honestly, I don't know much about any of that stuff. I thought, it's like the hair on my mounts turning into moths because it was the same color. I didn't know where they came from. And I brought Brother Joe in there. I said, Brother Joe, what do you think about that? Because there's hair falling down, falling on my laptop and on my desk. And I'm just spray it every day. And he said, no, you've got, he said, those moths will eat at all your mounts. So he took the one deer that was the most infected. He said, you need to bomb your office. You need to bomb your office. So I went and got that little can of Raid or whatever it was. I didn't want to do it before I left. But as soon as I got home on Monday of this week, I went in there and I took all my stuff out that mattered and covered some stuff up, and I set that bomb off, and then I let it sit there overnight and came in the next morning, worked in the church office for a couple hours while I let my office air out and got in there and cleaned it all up, all that, you know, all that. No, there was a water bug that's been my pet for like 5 years, and it's like, so I knew it worked because he was halfway around the corner. So, oh, man. I had not seen a moth. I had not seen a moth. Okay. Here's the point that I'm getting at. Okay. Here's the point. Doesn't have to be youth camp. Doesn't have to be a youth rally. Doesn't have to be a Sunday night church, folks. It doesn't have to be a revival. It doesn't have to be another guest preacher. Some of us need to set off a spiritual bug bomb. We need to clean up. We need to quit making excuses. We know if we're not right with God. We know if things are not, stop. Because I know in your mind, it's like, no, it's you, preacher. No. It's not, and it wasn't before, and it's not now. Well, it's my parents. Well, it's my spouse. Folks, we can sit and we could play, we could have the blame game all day long, and we could still have a mess in our life. Or we can get along with God this morning, tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow morning in the truck, out on the mower, skiing through the snow on Tuesday. And I'm talking about Will's Point, not in New Mexico or wherever you are going. But we can set off that bug bomb and say, Lord, I want to be totally and completely right with you. And I believe God will do a work in your heart to bring you back to where He wants you to be. Do you magnify Christ every day? Your body and your belonging, the people that you're around, the people that you want to be around, the people that you're comfortable with? Are you magnifying Christ? Our behavior, the way we're acting and talking and all, our attitude, all these things, are we magnifying Christ? If not, if we claim to be a child of God, we ought to be. For to me, to live is Christ. Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know the Lord as your personal Savior. I would invite you to be saved today. God loves you. He wants to save you. And what a life. What a life you can live as a child of God.